This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
استغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, so inshallah we'll continue with the verses following Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And we said Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the first ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is the second verse in Surah Al-Fatiha. And of course, whether it's the first, second, whether Bismillah is by itself, that's a different difference of opinion. And inshallah, when we get to the end of Surah Al-Fatiha, we'll mention some of the Islamic rulings or fiqh rulings relating to it. So right now we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. First, I want to mention just some of the mistakes that people pronounce, meaning when they recite the Quran, just some common mistakes. First, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Of course, Hamza is one of the huruf, one of the letters that are known as muraqaqa, which is like an A sound. And some people, they make mistake, especially when it's connected with the Ra. So they say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, and that's correct. That's incorrect. It should be Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And also, it's the second Ar-Rahman. Of course, there's a shadda on the Ra, but the second one, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And some people add another Ra to it by saying Nir Rahim, as if there's an extra Ra towards that. And so, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, what does that mean? Ar-Rahman is from Ar-Rahmah. What is Rahmah? Rahmah in the Arabic language is one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, these are two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is Ar-Rahman, and that is only specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ar-Rahman is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. He is Ar-Rahman. And when you say Ar-Rahim, it is connected to his actions. So Ar-Rahman is related to his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala self. And Ar-Rahim is connected to the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So which one is greater? Of course, the greater is that which is, both of them of course are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you say Ar-Rahman, it's directly connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they both come from the word Rahmah. And the word Rahmah is a word that encompasses love, and not only just love and compassion. We always translate it as being as a mercy, and it is, you know, when somebody has mercy on someone, it's like, you know, they're when it comes to a person, when we speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, of course, his attributes are unique to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And there's nothing like unto him. But in the Arabic language, when you say Rahmah, it means mercy, but mercy that's accompanied by compassion and love. And it is also connected to someone doing good towards you. So it pushes a person. When someone has Rahmah, it's not just and a feeling of the heart, but also it's a feeling that motivates a person to do good for the person whom they have mercy upon, who they have rahmah upon. And so the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say Ar-Rahman and then Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa kana bil mu'minina ar-Rahim. And some of the scholars have mentioned that Ar-Rahman is one who is all merciful in this life and in the hereafter, and Ar-Rahim is specifically for the believers because of the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa kana bil mu'minin, and surely Allah towards the believers, wa kana bil mu'minina rahima, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful towards the believers. And so we know that when we have mercy upon others, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also have mercy upon us. And so how do you, by learning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do we as Muslims, by learning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, put that into practice or have it, how do we embody these names, meaning how do we put it to practice and learn so that we can make a change just by knowing the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the names and attributes of Allah. First, so the first thing is having mercy upon ourselves, right? So you have mercy, you have to have mercy upon yourself. What do we mean by like really having mercy upon yourself? Having mercy upon yourself means, meaning it means to take care of yourself also, that you do not do anything that is harmful towards yourself. So the first person that is, that's deserving of that mercy, when the person has mercy, is oneself. So what does that entail? It entails abstaining from sins, because committing sins is harmful for you. And so when you're drowning in sins, then that's harmful for yourself and you're not compassionate towards yourself. You don't have rahmah towards your own self also. Another aspect of rahmah for oneself is knowing who you really are and being consistent in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning because there are some people, yes, when it comes to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do your very best to pray as much as you can and fast as much as you can, but the best example, of course, is the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it comes to balancing the deen and the dunya. When someone does not balance the deen and the dunya, then they're not really having mercy upon themselves. And that's why during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when those three people came, there were three people who came to Aisha radiallahu anha, asking her about the worship of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course she told them that, you know, at nighttime he sleeps and he prays, and in the daytime some days he fasts, some days he doesn't fast. And then of course we know that, you know, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had multiple wives. And so one of them said, you know, I'm never going to sleep at nighttime. I'm never going to sleep at nighttime. And the other person says, you know, I'm not going to break my fast. I'm going to fast perpetually, continually. And the other person says, you know, I'm not going to get married at all. And so when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he was very angry. And he said, "Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni." He was very angry. In fact, he said, why is it that I hear some people saying this and that? I'm certainly the most pious, the one who has the most taqwa amongst you. And I sleep, I pray and I sleep and I fast, and some days I don't fast and I get married. Whoever stays away or rejects or does not like my sunnah, then he's not of us. He's not of us. And of course, there's another hadith about Abu Dharr or about Salman al-Farisi. Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, in which you know, he noticed you know, the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, he used to pair the Muslims together. And he would pair people who were, of course, so that they could help each other. And he would pair the companions, and of course, because there were people who were coming from Medina, or they were, as in the case of Salman al-Farisi, he was a slave before. And so after he became free, you pair each other up so that you can help each other. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he paired the companions up, and actually this pairing was done so that they could, they could help each other, and it's to help them in their brotherhood. And he paired the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, paired Salman al-Farisi with Abu Dharr, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Salman al-Farisi realizing how, realizing that his wife did, not Salman's wife, but Abu Dharr's wife, she didn't take care of herself. She didn't take care of herself. And he said, why? Why is it that you don't beautify yourself? And this was, of course, before the revelation and the obligation of hijab, And when she answered, she said, why should I? Because, he is in no need of me. My husband is in no need of me. In the daytime, he fasts. At nighttime, he stands up in prayer. And so there's no need for me to do that. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed about this. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to tell him and to call him over. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks about the situation. He says, "Inna li rabbika alayka haqqan." Surely your Lord has a right upon you. Wa inna li ahlika alayka haqqan. And your family, they also have a right upon you. Wa inna li ahlika alayka haqqan. Wa inna li nafsika alayka haqqan. And you yourself also, you have a right upon yourself. فَأَعْتِ كُلِّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّ. So give each entity that is deserving of its right, its right. And so this balance, if you go to one extreme, then you're not really having you don't have mercy or compassion towards yourself. That means you're not taking care of yourself. Taking care of yourself means taking care of also giving each its rights. And so you yourself also have a right upon yourself. So the most important thing in Islam, of course, is consistency. It's not about going all out and then you burn out. You don't want to burn out, because the most beloved deeds in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are that which is most consistent, even if it's just a small amount. Even if it's just a small amount. And, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, whenever they used to hear from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were very, very, as anyone is, anyone who listens to the Quran, listens to a lecture, they feel extremely motivated. Even when they go back home, when they do their regular chores and do everything out and go back to work, it's the same level of faith and iman is not maintained. And so Hanzala, he came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, "Nafaqa Hanzala." Hanzala has become a hypocrite. Hanzala has become a hypocrite. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "How is that? Why? What do you mean?" He says, "Whenever we're with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he mentions about the hellfire and paradise, it's as if we could see it with our very own eyes. It's as if we can see with our very own eyes. But then when we go back to our families and we play with them and we're with them, it's as if we forgot everything." Like, he's trying to tell Abu Bakr, he said, "I feel like a hypocrite." And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I feel the same way also. And so they said, "Well, let's go to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask about that." And so they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, you know, he said to Hanzala, and of course Abu Bakr also there, he said, Sa'atun wa sa'ah. There's a time for this and there's a time for that. If you were to be able to maintain the same state, meaning how you feel when you're in front of me, meaning when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about paradise and the hellfire, then if you were to be able to maintain that, the angels would come down and shake your hands in the streets and in your houses. They would shake your hands. But there's a time for this and there's a time for that. And that's why there has to be a balance. You know, sometimes when you try to do something and you do as much as you can, of course, there's like for during the month of Ramadan, but you try to maintain and do so as much as you can. But the most important thing is to improve and to try to be consistent in your actions. And when you're trying to do too much, you overwhelm yourself and you break down. You overwhelm yourself and you break down. So the most important thing is to try to not just, of course, you get motivated, but if you're motivated by something, try to take something from that lecture or from those lessons that you learned and try to make the intention to apply it for the rest of your life. Because a little of something is easier than doing so much and then stopping altogether. So, and that's why it's very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having that consistency is also having mercy upon yourself and taking care of yourself also. So the first, so ar-rahmah, the word rahmah also should be applied to, you know, having mercy upon yourself also. And of course, others. The second aspect of it is having mercy or having rahmah towards others. And especially who? There's two types of people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we should really have mercy towards. That means we should show compassion towards them. We should show compassion towards who? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa minna man lam yarham saghirana." وَلَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كِبَارَنَا. I said, he's not of us, those who do not have mercy upon the young, who are not compassionate towards the young. And so being compassionate towards the young, at the same time also respecting your elders. When you say respecting your elders, meaning part of respect is also having mercy upon them, meaning you're taking care of them also. And at the same time, it's not just taking care of them, but also, you know, showing respect for them, being well-mannered, considerate towards them. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa minna man lam yarham saghirana." So one thing that we should work on is being compassionate towards the young, towards those who are young. And وَيُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا. And also وَيَعْرِفْ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقَّ. And also you know the people who are knowledgeable also, and respect those of knowledge also. So part of having mercy is having mercy upon those who are young, meaning taking care of them. Of course, naturally a mother would take care of her children, and you know, the parents would take care of the children. But showing compassion towards them, meaning, you know, understanding them because they're young, they're also learning, and they will make mistakes. And even when they do make mistakes, try to be gentle with them. But there are certain times, of course, you have to be firm and you have to be strict also, especially if you've already, you know, reminded them many, many times, and they will continue to make mistakes also. But part of our deen teaches us also to treat the young amongst us and have mercy upon them. And so having mercy upon the young. And another one, of course, is having being merciful towards your family. not just the youngsters. I mean, when I say youngsters, it's not just youngsters amongst your family, like your children, but also young people around, other young people, like young people who, children, other people's children also, to be merciful towards them, to be kind and show compassion towards them. Because there are some people, like, you know, there's some uncles, they feel like if the young are at the masjid and they do something wrong, they're always yelling at them and screaming at them. And then the young people, when they see this uncle, they're always scared of the uncle. They run away, oh, that uncle's coming. But that wasn't how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very kind, gentle, and he was, even his children, his grandchildren, Al-Hasan and Hussein, one time they came to the masjid while people were praying, and of course their grandfather is praying, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are climbing upon the back of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're playing on his back while he's in sujood, and people don't know. People are in sujood, so they don't see it. They don't see what's going on. And he remains in sujood for a very long time. He continues to stay in sujood. And he continues to stay in sujood. To the point where some of the companions, they were saying, and we feared the worst. Because imagine someone in sujood for so long that you're afraid something must have happened to them. So there, we feared the worst. And then some of us raised our heads and we saw Al-Hasan and Hussein on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's back. And then when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished praying and he turned around and he says, he told them the reason why he prolonged his sujood. And he said, I did not want to distract them in their play. Ya Allah, you're in prayer. And he didn't want to cut them off because they were having fun, jumping on his back. And so he prolonged the prayer so long that people thought the worst had happened to him. And so the lesson here is, I want you to think about it. Would Al-Hasan and Hussein, would they have done that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if he didn't play with them at home? If he didn't play with them at home, you know that they would not do that. The reason why they're doing that, even in the masjid, is because they're used to it. Meaning the Messenger of Allah, so this was not the first time that they would get in the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many other times. This is definitely not the first time. So the lesson here is he used to play with them. And he used to play with them in a way that, you know, what's that made them happy. You know, children, when you let them ride your back, and you play with them, you have this connection with them, and then they love you. And that's how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. So that's part of being merciful towards the young. And also, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prolong the prayer because of these two youngsters, right, two kids, and he shortened the prayer because of another baby. He shortened the prayer. So he's praying and he intends to recite a little bit longer or normal for, you know, during Fajr prayer. And he's praying and he hears the crying of a baby. He hears the crying of a baby. Because the companions, when they used to pray, and the men used to pray in the front, and the women used to pray in the back of the masjid. And so some of the women, of course, they would bring their children, because they couldn't leave their children, especially when their baby's at home. But they enjoyed praying in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much that many of them came to pray behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the masjid. And during prayer, a baby cries. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shortens his prayer. He stops right away. He goes down to ruku and sujood. And then he finishes the prayer. And he said, when I stood up for prayer, I actually intended to prolong my prayer. I wanted to pray longer. But I heard the crying of the baby, and I felt for the mother. So he felt for the mother. So look, if this was in some masajids, you know, I know there's some masajids when the imam is leading prayer and the baby is crying, some imams will turn around. Sisters, come on, Fajr time, why you bring your kids to the masjid? Right? Some people, they will say things that make the women feel unwelcome. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shortens the prayer for everyone because he's worried about this the mother, the concern of the mother. So imagine she can't do anything about it. The baby's crying and she's praying. So he shortens the prayer. So he shortens the prayer because of a baby, and he prolongs the prayer because of two other babies. And this was the mercy of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love and the compassion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards the youngsters and also towards members of his family. And also, even when he was praying, he didn't prolong the prayer so much. Sometimes in Fajr prayer, he would read between 60 and 100 verses. But at other times, some of the companions reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited Watini wa Zaytun. And so they said, I heard the Messenger of Allah reciting Watini wa Zaytun in Fajr. And then the second rakah, he recited it again. I don't know if he forgot or he intentionally recited those two surahs twice. And so that's a very short Fajr prayer, right? And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell the companions, and if you lead people in prayer, make sure you think about the weakest of the congregation, because there are some, don't prolong it too much that you make it difficult for them, because there are some who are old, some who are, you know, not feeling well maybe, and there are others who are busy, and so they need to go out and about and do their thing. And so being part of having that mercy, when we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And we know that if we're, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Irhamu man fil ard, have mercy upon those on earth, and the one who is in the heavens will have mercy upon you. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ ذُلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah tells us to also be kind, to be compassionate towards our parents. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ ذُلِّ. Lower your wings, the wings of humility towards your parents. And sometimes it's difficult, you know, because when your parents, they say something, sometimes they might say something that you may disagree with, or they, when they're older, it's hard to deal with them. And they're from another generation. Sometimes you can't connect with them that well. But you have to show respect for them. And if you show respect for them, and if you are merciful towards them and compassionate towards them, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be compassionate towards you also. And say, وَقُرْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا. And remember also, say, oh my Lord, have mercy upon them, كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Just like they were, just like they took care of me when I was young. Why? When we were infants and we were babies, they took care of us. We needed them. If you don't have your parents taking care of you, any baby in the world right now, if their parents abandon them and no one takes care of them, they will not survive. They will not survive. And so our parents took care of us, just like they took care of us before. Have mercy upon them also, O Allah. And that's what we're taught to ask, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to supplicate to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us, part of course, having mercy upon them also is loving them, meaning you want the best for them. You want the best for them. So what's the best thing that they can have? The best thing that you can give them is guidance and supplicating, meaning your children and your family. So you want them to have Jannah, because the worst thing that can happen to them is that they lose Islam. the worst thing, the best thing that can, the best, of course, the greatest blessing is al-Islam. And because when you have al-Islam, then you have Jannah. And if you don't have that, then you know where you go. And that's why if you are, if you love them, then try to instill the teachings of Islam in them. And that's why the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to order your family to pray and be patient with it. Be patient with it because, you know, just not just one or two times, do it the best way that you can. Try to remind them in the best way possible. Try to help them when it comes to their deen and their prayer and teaching them and so forth. And so that's part of having mercy. Yeah, part of the mercy that we should have for our families. And when we recite Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, we should also be reflecting upon those types of things. Like, what can we do to earn the mercy of Allah? So one way to earn the mercy of Allah is having mercy upon our children by teaching them the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another is, of course, for a Muslim to be compassionate and love those who are compassionate and care for those who are sick, though amongst the Muslims, those who are going through difficulties. And so that's why we're ordered to, you know, when someone is sick, if they're part of our, if they are our family members, we should take care of them and do our very best to take care of them. And this is a very virtuous deed, virtuous act to take care of them. And also when you hear somebody sick, to also go visit them, you know, to visit them. When you're visiting someone who's sick, you know, they can't go. They're stuck in their house or they're stuck in the hospital and they're going through a lot of pain. They need support. It's not just financial support, but they also need they need us to be there for them and just to speak kind words of them, to know that we're thinking about them and we're making dua for them. So that's why it's very virtuous to visit the sick, and if they need anything, then we help them with that. And so that's part of being merciful towards others who are weak amongst the Muslims or those who are in need, especially, you know, with Muslims, what the Muslims are going through right now. And to have that sense of compassion in our hearts, because we are one body, whatever, you know, when the Muslims are suffering anywhere in the world, then we are also, we're also making dua for them as if they are our own mothers, our own children. And these are our sisters and our brothers who are going through difficulties. And that's why it's very, very important for us also to remind ourselves. It helps us also when we visit the sick. And it's a part of us showing compassion for those who are in need. And that's why the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was always concerned about everyone. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, it affected them so much because they could feel the Messenger of Allah. And they lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They knew he wasn't just someone who just gave a reminder and then never saw them again. No, he used to visit them. He used to eat with them. He used to travel with them. And that's the kind of person the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And of course, he was applying the teachings of the Quran, because the Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "Kana khuluqu al-Quran," his character, he was the embodiment of the Quran. And so when someone is in need, someone is sick, then you know you should make dua for them. And when you know that some people are going through difficulties, even if they're very far, even if they're another country, in Palestine, in Sham, for example, all that they're going through, we should try to do our very best to make dua and supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates them of their difficulties. And if we're able to help them financially, then we should help them also financially. And if we can help them in, you know, because right now it's just, you know, there are other things that you can do now that here, wherever you are, to help them also. you know, so that this doesn't continue. Because, you know, like in social media, or if you can change the opinions of politicians and so forth, then of course that's something that we as Muslims, that type, the mercy that we have in our hearts for them, should be, you know, should be applied in those, especially in those matters also. And it isn't, as Muslims, another aspect of rahmah that we should try to embody is rahmah towards not only just humans, but everything that's around us, whether plants and animals and so forth. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي بِطَرِيقٍ. And there was a man who was walking on the road, and اشْتَدَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَطَشِ. He became very, very thirsty. فَوَجَدَ بِئْرَا. And he found a well. فَنَزَلَ فِيهَا. And so he went into that well. فَشَرِبَ. And then, so he drank from that well because he was very thirsty. ثُمَّ خَرَجَ. Then he left the well. So sometimes, you know, some wells you have to go in and then you have to get the water. And some wells you just, you know, throw in a bucket, right? So this is a well he actually went in to get. There's no bucket or anything. He actually climbed down the well. You know how some people, they're able to climb down the well. And he filled up, you know, of course he drank when he was down there, drank from the water. When he got out, he saw a dog. This dog, فَإِذَا كَلْبِ يَلْحَثْ. This dog was so thirsty that it was its tongue was sticking out. And يَأْكُلُ الثَّرَى. And it was licking the mud, the ground, the wet ground, because it was so thirsty, مِنَ الْعَطَشِ. And so that man saw that dog and realized that that dog is just as thirsty as he was, if not more, before he went down to drink from that well. And he says, لَقَدْ بَلَغَ هَذَا الْكَلْبِ مِنَ الْعَطُشِ مِثْلُ الَّذِي كَانَ قَدْ بَلَغَ مِنِّي. This dog is just as thirsty as I was before I went down to drink from the well. And so he went back into the well. And you know, it's not easy to climb a well, right? So some people might think, ah, it's just an animal, who cares, right? But no, he says, فَنَزَلَ الْبِرِ. He goes down into that well and he takes out his leather socks, right? Because there's nothing that they don't have cups or containers. He doesn't have anything with them. The only thing that he can use to bring the water out is his socks. So he has leather socks. And so he filled his leather socks and he bit it. You know, I mean, he put it in his mouth. He actually, you know, because when you're climbing a well, you need to use both your hands and feet in order to climb up and down. It's you know, it's difficult to climb a well. So he puts the water in the socks, and he's biting the socks to make sure it doesn't spill. And he's doing his very best until he climbed out, and then he gave water to that dog. So he did. It was a little bit of effort that he had to put in, of course, and because of that, فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was thankful for what he did. So notice he says, فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ. I mean, Allah is thankful. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates. Ya Allah. Allah created us. He doesn't need us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciated what he did. And Allah forgave him all his sins. In another narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entered him Jannah. And so the companions, when they heard this hadith, when they heard these words from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, "Qalu ya Rasulullah, inna lana fil bahaim ajran." Said, "Being kind to animals, we get reward too." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Fi kulli kabidin ratba ajr." Every animal, everything that has a wet liver, meaning, you know, anything that pretty much has blood running through them, right? Any animal that's live and that has blood running through them, you get the reward. في كل كبد رطبة أجر. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave this person. In another narration, it was a woman. And maybe this is another case where she was a prostitute, but that mercy in her heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave her sins also. But the opposite is also true. Someone who doesn't have mercy in their hearts, And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Udhibat imra'atun fi hirratin habasatha hatta matat." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a woman was punished because of a kitten. Because of a kitten. Habasatha, what did she do? She locked him up until it died. She locked him up until it died. فَدَخَلَتْ فِيهَا النَّارِ. And because of that, she entered the hellfire. لَا هِيَ أَطْعَمَتْهَا. She did not give him any food. She did not give the kitten any food. And she did not give him any water. And she did not give it any water, and the kitten any water. إِذْ هِيَ حَبَسَتْهَا. And she locked him up, closed the doors, and he wasn't able to. She didn't leave any food or water for the kitten. وَلَا هِيَ تَرَكَتْهَا تَأْكُلُ مِنْ خَشَائِشِ الْأَرْضِ. And she did not allow the kitten to go out and eat on its own, eat from the shrubs and the grass. And as a result of that, the Prophet ﷺ said, she entered the hellfire because of a kitten. Because of a kitten. And so lack of mercy towards animals also is it's not just towards humans, but mercy towards all. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also ordered us, and he said, he ordered us to sharpen our knives. And he said, Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written ihsan in every single thing that we do. Ihsan means excellence, to try to do our best, to try to be our most kind. Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay. Fa'idha qataltum fa'ahsinu al-qitla. If you're going to kill, that means if you're going to slaughter an animal to eat, or if you're going to kill, then do so in the best way. And don't be, if you have to, then of course, don't do anything that's considered harmful or excessive towards, in terms of your harm of the animal. وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ. And whenever you slaughter, فَأَحْسِنُوا ذَبْحُ. Whenever you slaughter, then slaughter in the best way possible. وَلِيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَةَ. Then make sure you sharpen your knives. Your knives. And then he says, وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَةَ. And also make sure you lay down the animal properly. Meaning, be kind to the animal. Even though you're about to slaughter the animal, but do it in the best way. Do it in the best way. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us to do so, to do all of these things. And he was, of course, the embodiment. He embodied all of these teachings, because amongst the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Ra'uf, Al-Wadud. And Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most beneficent, the most compassionate, the most loving, the most merciful, Ar-Rahim, is of course, is from Rahmah, also from mercy also. Ar-Ra'uf is compassionate and kind, and Al-Wadud is loving. But notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the names Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim in the Qur'an 170 times. 170 times, Ar-Rahman. And Allah mentions Al-Jabbar. Al-Jabbar is the mighty, the compeller, once in the Qur'an. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even describes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being merciful. Allah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Indeed, a messenger has come from amongst you. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. What is عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ? عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Whatever difficulty you may go through, he also feels it. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. It's, you might, for some people, like when they go through difficulty, Sometimes you don't care about the other person, but the Messenger of Allah was very caring. Azizun alayhi ma anittum. Whatever difficulty you go through also affects him. That's something that affects the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger, Allah is describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, describing the compassion of the Messenger of Allah towards this ummah. And that's why every single thing that he does, he's always thinking about the goodness of this ummah, to make it easy, the ease and the compassionate in his in the rulings and what he does. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, harisun alaykum. And he's always harisun, he wants goodness for you. Bil mu'mineen, towards the believers, he is ra'uf, he's compassionate, merciful, and loving. Ra'uf al-Rahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you, O Muhammad, except as a mercy for all of al-alameen, meaning all of humanity, all of the jinn, all of the creation, all of the worlds. And the Prophet sallallahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes the mercy of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Ali Imran, Allah says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. When was this verse revealed? This verse was revealed after during the battle of Uhud. During the battle of Uhud, the Prophet ﷺ listened to the youngsters. He listened to the youngsters. The youngsters were very motivated. They wanted to go out and fight. And we know what happened after the battle of Badr. And some of the hypocrites, specifically Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he's one of the reasons why he didn't go with the Prophet ﷺ. Of course, one of the reasons he mentioned was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam listens to the youngsters, and he doesn't listen to us. So part of having mercy upon the youngsters is listening to them also, and consulting them. And so he consulted them. He saw such motivation that instead of he himself, he wanted to stay in Medina, and he wanted the enemies to come in and let them fight inside Medina. So because why? Because you know the streets of Medina, you have their houses to protect you. You can shoot them from your rooftops, right? And so it's you're in a better position when the enemy comes. Like just like, you know, in some places, like you know, when the enemy comes in, you know your area, you've already, you can take care of it better. And that's why just a side note. Like, you know, the IDF, of course, they're trying to go into Gaza, but they're having a lot of problems. Why? Because there are people in tunnels, they have places, they have everything staked out, and they know the area very, very well. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the battle of Uhud, he wanted to stay in Medina and let the enemy come and we strike them from the tops of our roofs and in our streets. We can defeat them that way. And maybe inshallah have less casualties. And of course, put the women and the children in one particular fortress area and protect them and have them be protected. When they come in, we can, you know, it's our area. We know our streets and we can defeat them that way. But the youngsters said, we never used to do this in Jahiliyyah. Why? Because they wanted to, they were afraid that the Meccans would not fight. They would go back. They were so, they had so much zeal. Of course, the hypocrites, they wanted to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice because they don't have to fight. They can stay in their houses. Nobody knows. Nobody sees. And that's why. And so, when the Messenger of Allah saw the youngsters doing that, seeing the youngsters do that, or say this, so motivated, he listened to them. He said, all right, if that's the case, let's go. we'll go and meet the enemy instead of waiting for them to come. And of course, we know what happened. A lot of Muslims were, martyred in the Battle of Uhud. And what do you think will happen? After the battle, what do you think the hypocrites are going to say? And the elders are like, who do they blame? They blame the youngsters. Look at this, is you guys. This is your problem. This is your fault. Next time do what? Next time don't listen to them. Next time don't listen to the youngsters. Right? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam listened to the youngsters, even against his own tactics. And he had a dream that he saw his hand inside his armor in the dream. He put it in his shirt or inside. And he said, I interpreted that as being Medina. It would be a very strong fortress against the enemy. But because there was so much zeal in the youngsters, he said, all right, let's go. We go. So he listened to the youngsters after consulting the youngsters and the elders. And so they went. And so when they went out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Because of the mercy of Allah, you were kind to them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. If you were harsh and cold-hearted, غَلِيظ means coarse heart, coarse of heart meaning, غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ, we would say cold-hearted. لَمْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They would have fled, run away from you. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ. Forgive them, forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And ask forgiveness for them. And then Allah says what? وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. The next time, consult with them again. The elders are saying, no, next time don't talk to them. Don't consult with them anymore. Look what happened. And I know of a masjid, like subhanAllah, and this was a masjid, in another country. It's a big masjid in a big city. And some of the youngsters were complaining. They said, they never let us do anything. And I said, why don't the elders let you guys do anything? So the reason is because, a couple of years ago, there was an event that we planned for the brothers and the sisters. And so it was a picnic that we were going outside the city, the sisters separately in a bus, and the brothers would be in the bus. And we planned that. But, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that one of the buses got into an accident. Right, got into an accident. And of course, some of the, alhamdulillah, nobody was seriously injured, but there were some people who were injured and some sisters who were injured because of the bus, the accident in the bus. I think it actually flipped. The elders, the brothers said, ever since that time, the elders never let us do anything. Allah, what did they have to do with the accident? They didn't cause the accident. And they were blaming the youngsters. See what happens. This is what you guys plan, huh? But during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something happened. I mean, a lot of Muslims died. A lot of Muslims were martyred when they went out, to fight. But the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, forgive them. And ask forgiveness for them. And next time, consult with them again. You better consult with them again. And so that's part of the mercy also, when you have compassion towards the youngsters, and part of having compassion towards them is listening to what they have to say. When you love somebody and you have mercy towards them, or you're compassionate towards them, you have to listen to them. And what is listening to them is consulting them, listen to their ideas. And if you do so, then there will be there will be barakah, inshallah. There will be barakah. So listen to the youngsters also. And that's part of the mercy that we should be learning when we recite Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy also for those who do good. If we want to earn the mercy of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The rahmah of Allah is near those who do good. قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And so, if you want to earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do a lot of good. help others, because when you're doing good, then you're close to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the famous hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, he said, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينِ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ, the example of the believers in their love for each other, وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ, and in their compassion towards each other, وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ, and also their compassion and their تَرَاحُمِهِمْ means their love and love and mercy towards each other. وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ means their compassion towards each other. Is like مَثَلْ الْجَسَدْ. It's just like one body. So a believer is one body. إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضُ. If one part of the body is aching, تَدَعَى لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّهْرِ وَالْحُمَّةِ. Just like any time there's a pain in one part of the body, that it keeps the whole body awake. It's not like, oh yeah, your feet is hurting or your knee is hurting. You're like, hey knee, you stay up, let me go to sleep. Like let me go to sleep. You can't tell your knee, okay, you stay, that's your problem. You're hurting right now. Let the rest of the body go. No, you can't go to sleep. And it also affects your whole body. You have the fever, of course, if some part is injured. Yeah, it's not just that one part that has a fever, it's the whole body, it affects the whole body. So the love and compassion of a believer, just like our brothers and sisters are going through, the difficulties around the world, we think about them and they keep us awake, and that's a part of faith and part of al-Iman. But at the same time, you also should not lose hope. You realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that He's all wise and He's all merciful, and whatever is happening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise, and out of that, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it embodies the mercy of Allah, even through tragedies and difficulties in ways we don't understand, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subtle when He does things. Sometimes we don't understand the reasoning, but we should try to do our very best, and we love our brothers and sisters, and we make dua for them, we help them with whatever we can. But at the same time, we should not allow it to paralyze us to the point where you're so depressed that you don't do anything. Let that push you to do good, to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يحم الله من لا يرحم الناس. In Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, one who is not merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not have compassion towards those who don't have compassion towards people. And the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّمَا يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ مَنْ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الرُّحَمَا. إِنَّمَا, I mean Allah only, إِنَّمَا means only. Allah only has compassion towards those, has mercy and compassion towards His servants who are رُحَمَا, who are merciful and compassionate. Also, and he says also, مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. Whoever is not compassionate towards others will not have compassion towards them also. And in another hadith also, so we're repeating a similar hadith. There are so many hadith that of similar meanings in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَرْحَمُ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Have mercy and be compassionate towards those on earth. يَرْحَمْكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. The one who is in the heavens, in the sky, in the heavens, will have mercy upon you. And Allah says, and the Prophet says, Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhum ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahimun, those who have mercy, the Lord ar-Rahman, the Lord most merciful, will have mercy upon them. So I just wanted to speak just a little bit about mercy and the ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and how we can, apply, where we can apply some of this, by learning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowing that He's merciful, and He's merciful towards those who show mercy. How can we show mercy? We show mercy by making dua. And part of our Muslim brotherhood, you can't claim that that you love someone unless when they go through difficulty, you make dua, and you don't make dua for them. If you don't make dua for them, that means you don't really love them. And when I speak about dua, that means dua from the bottom of your heart. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have to envelop us with mercy. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help our brothers and sisters who are going through difficulties. And one final thing, inshallah, I know you guys, there are some people who are sitting at home listening to this, but one way to earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to actually come to these, you know, when there's a lecture, to physically go, if you can. Why? Because these gatherings are gatherings of angels. The angels, there are angels that roam the world, roam the land, looking for these gatherings of knowledge. And when they find it, they open up their wings and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon those people. So if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon you, it's one of the best ways to earn the mercy of Allah and to have the barakah and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to come to these circles of knowledge, inshallah, in the time when there's a lecture. And it's different. When you listen online, it's different. You don't feel the same. You have more options, but when you're coming, you can feel a sense of mercy because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has angels here that you don't see, that we don't see. And if we were to see them, then I think we would, a lot of us would come. So if you have the opportunity to come, inshallah, please do so, inshallah. So I'm going to turn this off since they want to make adhan. I think I turned the other one off. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.